We talked last week about building your life on a good foundation. So we've been in this series on unshakable faith. And really what kicked that off, at least the title, was the earthquake a few weeks ago out of Russia. But it made me realize we have a lot of shaky ground, not just in this earth, but how many of you know in our culture? And I mean, obviously with some of the things that are happening. And let me tell you, the target of most of those are our kids. And we need to stand up. I'm so thankful to see, I don't know if you realize it, but our first service, we have to have two services because everybody would not fit in this one service. I mean, how many of you know that's a good thing for our church? Amen. It's good for the kingdom. We want to see the kingdom grow. Amen. We are in week three of this. We've been in the book of James. We've been kind of going through it. We got one more week after this week, but it's a very practical book, things that you can actually apply to your life. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about how to overcome trials and temptations in life. Anybody ever face trials and temptations in your life? Right? On a regular basis, am I right? This world is also known as a trial. Right? Because it is. I mean, it's like one thing after another. Once you overcome one thing, how many of you know there's another one coming? So we face them on a regular basis. Last week, I talked about that unshakable foundation and how you can either build your life on God's word or you can build it on the ideas and philosophies of this world. And how many of you know that is shifting sand? The ideas and the foundations of this world is constantly moving, and it doesn't put you in a good place. So if you missed either one of those, listen, we got podcasts, we're on Facebook, on YouTube, you can listen to it. Go to our website, you can download or listen to the audio, and I would encourage you to do that. But today, I want to kind of forewarn you. This could be the most challenging of all of the messages, but I also believe it might produce the most fruit if you will say, God, help me apply this to my word. So can we all say that? Say, God, help me apply this to my life. Amen. Let me ask you a question before I start. Are you okay if God's word steps on your toes a little? All right, I'm glad to hear that. For those of you that didn't know for sure, you're here anyway, and I'll see you if you try to walk out. So I'm just kidding, okay? Let me start it out. I'm just going to jump right into it. James chapter 1, verse 26, he says, if you claim to be religious but you don't control your tongue, you're only fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Aren't you glad that James is a little subtle in how he puts things? Right, like he just kind of beats around the bush. No, he jumps right into it, doesn't he? He like just throw it. That's a strong statement, isn't it? Like, wow, it's I'm fooling myself and it's useless. Wow, James, you're harsh, right? But what he's basically saying is, if you claim to follow Jesus, you can show up to church, you can sing the songs, you can even serve in a ministry. But if we can't control this little thing right here, this small part of our body, he's saying you're fooling yourself, right? Your religion is worthless. It has no value. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But here, the reality is, if your relationship with God, if you can't control this thing, maybe you need to check out what you really got. Amen? Come on, are you guys with me? Listen, we're going to talk about that. So come on, put on some smiles and receive the word with gladness. Amen? All right, I'm glad to see that. So we're gonna get in. I'm gonna talk about some aspects about our tongue, and then I'm gonna give you application. And listen, if you don't come here on a regular basis, I always want you to walk out this door with something to apply to your life. How many of you know if you get application, or if you just get information without application, then all you're getting is a lecture. And I'm not up here to lecture anybody. God's word was meant for us to put in. How many of you know God is a God of transformation? And if you can apply it, then your life transforms and becomes like more like him. Amen? So if you got your notes, I hope that you'll take the notes. If you don't take notes, I want to encourage you to do it anyway. Here it is, five facts about your words. Number one, my words are going to lead my life. Leads the direction of my life. How do we know that? We're going to jump into James chapter 3. He says we can make large horses go wherever we want, by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder can make a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. So here's what he's saying. Something very small in your life can really change the trajectory of your life. Isn't that true? It can change. Maybe you had plans, maybe you had goals, but because you didn't control this thing, your plans got thwarted, right? Your goals changed. And listen, this is a strong statement. I want you to know, the plans God has for you. We quote Jeremiah 29:11 a lot. You know, I know the plans I have for you, plans for prosper you, but do you know you can derail God's plans in your life because of this? God wants to bless, God wants plans, but until you get control of this, you're not going to see a lot of that happen in your life. I'm just saying that's true. And so here's the thing. A lot of us are living out the words that we have spoken in our life. You're living them out. And it's also true that you may be living out the words that others have spoken over you. And you've grabbed onto those things. I want you to understand that the words we speak are powerful. Like you can go around in life saying, well, I can't do this. I'll never overcome that. I'll never accomplish this thing. I won't do it. And then guess what? You never will. That's right. Isn't that true? Why? Because your words are leading your life. And like I said, some of you, you're living out words that maybe people spoke over your life. Maybe somebody told you, oh, you'll never accomplish that. You'll never do it. You're never going to measure up. You're always going to be a failure. And now here you are living out the very words that were spoken over you. I mean, this is a big deal. You may be living out the words, and like I said, maybe not even the ones that come out of your mouth, but how many of you know we have a lot of words up in our head that roll around in our thoughts that maybe you whisper it or you think about it, and you're living those out. I'm this, I'm that, I'm all of these things. And listen, it's important for us to understand. I want to look at an example out of Israel. In Numbers chapter 13, there were 12 spies that went into the land of Cana, check out if the land is good for them to take the promised land. And if you guys remember, 10 of them came back with a bad word, saying, oh man, we're not going to be able to do this. But then Caleb, one of the two spies that came back with a good report, he said this. It says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are, let's all say that together, well able to overcome. That's a powerful word. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people. How many of you know those are two different philosophies right there? And I want you to understand that you and I have a choice on which one that we want to live. And this is a fill-in in your notes. You can live a well-able life, or you can live a not-able life. We've got the choice to make. And your words are going to lead you. And I want you to understand that this is not just positive thinking. Like Caleb didn't come in, oh, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it. Keep telling yourself, guys, we can do it. No, because he knew God was with him. He knew that he could do it. Listen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? This isn't you trying to build up your ego. You know what? Oh, just speak the positive. You are nice. You are beautiful. You are handsome. You know, that's not that, is it? No, it's speaking God words into your life, knowing that God is with you. You are well able. And I just want to say that to everyone here, maybe some listening on. You are well able to do the things that God's called you to do. Amen. Or you can do like the other spies that looked around and they saw all the people and it's like, oh, they're stronger than me. I'm not able. I can't do it. Listen, those words matter in your life. And what I want you to understand is that your words become the prophecy of your life. Think about that. You begin to speak it out, you're declaring it over yourself. And listen, if you're speaking God words, that's a good thing. But if you're speaking death, doom, despair, worry, all of that over your life, that's what's going to come out. That's what you're going to live by. And let me just say, for those of you that are married, whatever you speak to your spouse, like if you use the you never do this and you always do that, guess what you're doing? You're basically speaking prophecy to your family. And they never will. If you keep telling your husband you never pick up your clothes, he's going to be like, okay, I never do it. I guess I ain't going to pick up my clothes. No, I'm just kidding right there. So I just want you to be careful. Be careful. And, you know, doing a baby dedication, it's so important. Be careful about the words you speak over your kids. Those of you with grandkids, be careful about the words you speak. We want to give them a well-able life, not a not able life. Amen? So are you with me today? All right. Just like a rudder controls the ship, that's what he's saying. The tongue, your tongue has been controlling your life, whether you realize it or not. All right. How many of you ever been on a ship before and it's like the rudder's changing it and you're not thinking about it? I wonder which direction the rudder is facing right now. No, your rudder has brought you to where you are right now. And so let me just say, your rudder pointing you here to church today, that was a good direction. All right, but how many of you know it doesn't always point in a good direction? The choice is yours. Let me say it like this, that what the verse says, it says the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So if you kind of think about that verse right there, if I'm speaking life, how many of you know that's good fruit? And you're eating it. Some of you guys you're like, man, life is not good right now. It's horrible. How many of you know it's probably because you are eating that fruit?
That's right.
Like if I had a choice, like you want a rotten banana that's all mushy and kind of melting on your cabinet right there? Or do you want something fresh? And that's what your words are. That's what he's saying. It has the power of life and death. So my question is, what are you eating? All right, what are you eating? Let me, this is another fill-in in your notes here. We shape our words, and then our words shape us. So think about that. We determine, we have a choice of what words we're going to use in our life, to our spouse, to the people around us. But what happens is the words we use will begin to shape us in that direction. Isn't that true? So your words lead your life. And listen, I hope as you walk out today that you get this deep in your spirit. Amen. That your words really are leading you. And like I said, some of you, you're allowing your words to lead you in unhealthy places. Or maybe it's just that your words are leading you to a place that's less than what God wants for you. Does that make sense? God has got great plans. Sometimes we allow our words to lead us to a life of mediocrity. Amen. We need to begin to listen. And listen, I know that it's hard. Listen, I don't know where everybody comes from, but if you came up and if you were raised in a negative environment, let's just say old habits are hard to break, aren't they? Some came from environments where maybe you felt beat down. Nobody ever spoke words of life or encouragement to you. And so it's hard. And now here you are living out what only thing that you've seen. But if you'll take this truth and realize your words will lead your life. Let me just say this. If you want a different destination, how many of you know we got to actually think about the words we speak? Amen. If you want to end up in a different place, if you don't like where you are now, then we need to change our words. Amen. We got to change our words. So that was number one. Number two is that my words not only lead my life, but they can wreck my world. Don't raise your hand if that's happened to you, because it happens to people all the time. What does he say in James chapter 3, verse 5? He's just going on. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. How many of you know we understand that here in California? Little spark, we all freak out. There's a spark going on, right? You see a little puff of smoke, and you think, oh no, something's about to be burned down. You walk around the corner, and somebody's just vaping there, right? It's like, oh, okay, we're good, right? So anyway, we understand that. The tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. Wow, there's James again with those soft words, right? He's just going. But here's the thing. One wrong word can set your world on fire. It can set your marriage on fire. Right? It can set your relationships with other people, other family members. Long-term friends have been separated by a few words. Yeah. And it's like, man, your words can wreak havoc in your world. And listen, let me just get on this little hobby horse right here. We live in a society that encourages comments or likes on social media. Yeah. Amen?
That's right.
Oh, I got a comment on that. What? Oh, I got a comment on that. And we feel like I must. It's my obligation. I've got to do that on everything. And let me just say, we don't have to say everything we're thinking.
Amen.
Amen. Right? Like, ooh, I'm going to give you a piece of your mind. My mind, right? I guess give your mind. No. My mind. See, I can't give out too many more pieces of my mind or I won't have much left, right? How many of you know as you're getting older, it's like, okay, I got to be selective in who I give a piece of my mind to. Or I'm not going to have anything left. Maybe you hear things, well, silence is violence or whatever it is. Listen, if you have not seen this over the last several years, one word can wreck your world. It can wreck your integrity. It can wreck your testimony. You've been trying to share the Lord with somebody. All it takes is one word, and they don't want to hear a word from you anymore because you flew off the handle, because maybe you said or wrote something without tempering yourself. Again, relationships ruined. People have lost their jobs because of a few words. We forgot to bridle this tongue. We don't realize. And let me just say, this is a newsflash. You don't always have to speak your mind. I think I already said that, but I wanted to say it again. You don't have to respond to every headline that is in the news. Amen? Amen? Because I want to say this, headlines aren't going to control me. Headlines aren't going to, I don't have to respond with everything that I'm thinking. And I'm just going to be honest with you. You don't want me to respond with everything I'm thinking because I'm not always having godly thoughts about things that I'm thinking. Come on, how many of you, oh, my thoughts are always holy. Right, I always have. I speak in love, joy, peace, patience. No, we don't need to say everything. Amen. Here's a great proverb, and I believe it's somebody's life verse. I'm about to give you a new life verse today. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. It's like, what? The Bible's telling me to shut my mouth? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes we need to do that. And listen, let's be honest. This is about duration here. He's saying too much talk. The more you talk, especially about something you're a little ruffled over, how many of you know eventually sin is going to come into that situation? Yeah. It's like eventually you're going to be like, oh, yeah. You know, anybody ever get in a Facebook argument? Come on. I had my last one a while back, but and I'm like, you know what? I just determined, you know what? I am not going to argue with people anymore. Because that's not beneficial. And it gets me to the place where I'm like I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm all of these things. And I'm like, something is not right about this. So it's not just really about duration, but how many of you know it's about direction as well? Yeah. Like I need to give my comments. If I'm upset about something, who's the only one that can really do anything about it? God is, yeah. And so why don't I take my worries, my concerns, my frustrations, whatever it is, and start learning to say, God, I need to bring this to you. Because maybe you're walking around and you're not having peace about something, and you think if you can get more people on your side, you're going to have peace. How many of you know you're joking, you're fooling yourself? Right? Only God can do that. And so this is in your notes as well here. Why don't we learn to pass the negatives up to God, who is the only one that can really do anything about it, and let's begin to pass the positives down to other people. What do I mean by that? Because we do the opposite in this world. We pass the negatives down to people, and we never give praise to people. We never build up other people. We never encourage them. Like I said, let's take our problems and our frustrations to God. And he can do something about it, because if we just take it to other people, you know what we become? Is gossip. Oh, man, this person this and that person that. If we made this a practice, I mean, think about it. To pass our negatives, to lean on God and learn how to begin to build other people up, how many do you think that would change your conversations? I mean, at work, oh, man, that boss, yeah, he's telling me this, that, and the other thing. The other guys, they're all agreeing with you. You know, before you know it, you're all mad, and guess what? He's still the boss. All right, you can't do anything about it. And so, Lord, help me to have a right attitude. God, this boss is telling me this, that, and the other thing. I'm really struggling with it. And listen, God will give you a peace in the midst of that. And it may change. It may not, but guess what? You get to walk through with peace. Amen? So that's number two. Number three, about your words will always, and I just want to emphasize, always reveal what's in your heart. You don't think it does? It will. Look what he goes on to say in chapter 3. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Can I tell you, that's all men. Whether you agree with them or whether you don't. And he says, out of the same mouth come praises and curses. My brothers, look what he says. This should not be. What does that look like? We're one mouth side of our mouth. God, you're so good. Man, I sure hate that person. God, you're so good. You know, if they died, I wouldn't shed a tear. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. But my boss, my neighbor, my coworker, that politician, you know what they deserve, God. How many of you know how weird that would be? But we do it. And he says, this should not be. We're worshiping with the same tongue that we're cursing our fellow human beings with. Honoring God with the same tongue while at the same time tearing other people down. Listen, and he asked this question. He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grape tree bear fruit? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. He's giving a contrast of something that's impossible. And what he's saying is like, listen, the source isn't your tongue because a spring comes from up somewhere deep, right? He's saying it's somewhere deeper. Fresh water is not going to come out of the same place salt water is coming out of. And so that leads me to number four. The real problem isn't my tongue, it's my heart. Ow, right? It's not about, ooh, I got to bite my tongue. I can't say that around that person. I'm going to control it. It's about heart transformation. How many of you know that's the difference with God? If you fix your heart, how many of you realize you fix your mouth? Hello, how many of you guys are still with me? If you'll fix your heart, it'll fix your mouth. But guess what? It also fix your thumbs as well. Amen? I know, I'm kind of harping on that, but I'm doing it anyway. Because it's a big deal. Because it's not about, oh no, I'm around this person. I better watch the things that I say. I mean, let me tell you, when I first became a pastor and people found out about it, they used to watch their words. Oh, he's a pastor. I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to tell you now, people don't filter anything. Right? And it's like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. And it's like, but they did. And so, but it's a heart issue. So here's the good news, okay? You guys ready? How do I fix my heart? How do I fix it? He goes on and he tells us right here, James 3, 7 and 8. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But look what he says. No man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. So here's my word for you today. You can't fix it. Yeah, have a great Sunday. I'm just kidding. But here's the thing, I can't fix it. Let me just say, you cannot fix your tongue. Do we understand that? That's a problem, but that's why we need God. Amen? That's why we need God. And let me just say, people are like, well, what's the difference in Christianity and all the other religions? Can I tell you, Christianity and all the other, with Christ, we believe in a God that can transform us. Right? Other religions, it's about, oh, I better do the right thing. I better act right. It's about behavior modification type stuff. But we serve a God where his spirit is in us and can actually transform us into a new person from the inside out. Amen? A lot of people are trying, okay, what does a Christian act like? I better act more Christian. No, you just need a heart transformation. And you don't have to worry about all the other stuff. It's not about trying harder. And I think we get caught up in that. It's like, let me try harder. Let me try harder. No, it's about surrendering and saying, oh God, I need you. I need you. It's not about being fake. Can I say that? We're not here to be fake Christians. Can I tell you, if you come to church and you learn the right lingo, hallelujah, praise the Lord, God is so good, I'm too blessed to be stressed, and then you go home and you're, you know, other things are coming out of your mouth, then maybe you need to realize, okay, God, I think I got a heart problem. I think I got a heart problem. How do I fix it? Three cures that I want to give you for your tongue. Number one, invite God to change your heart. Amen? I mean, it's so simple. God, I can't do it. I cannot fix what's coming out of here. I need you. And you call out to God. Look what he says in Jeremiah 24:7. I will give them a heart. God will give us a heart. Right? Another verse, he says, I will take out your stony heart and remove it and replace it with a heart of flesh. He goes, I'll give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, that they will be my people and I'll be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. Can I say transformation doesn't come from trying harder?
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Only God can transform your heart. Right. Listen, if you got a foul mouth, what is our prayer? God, transform my heart.
Yes.
If you struggle with gossip, which is the other church, it's not us, okay? Just want you to know that. God, transform my heart. Lord, because I sure want to talk about this person. Lord, I need a heart change, right? If you've got angry words and things make you angry and set you off, and you're like, I don't know how to control that, you're like, God, I need a transformed heart. If you have perverse words and you like these jokes, oh, well, I wouldn't tell this in church. Well, you shouldn't tell it at all or listen to it. And if that's your problem, it's like, God, I need a transformed heart. It's the whole process. Look what King David, after he committed adultery and actually murder, what does he do when he comes to God? He's like, God, create in me a clean heart. David realized his heart had gotten tainted. His heart had, the guy that wrote Psalms 23 and so many other Psalms, he realized my heart has gotten hard. And let me tell you, that can happen to any of us. And when you find out and you're like, oh God, what do you cry out? God, I want to cry. I don't know about you. I've prayed this many times. Lord, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a loyal or a right spirit in me. We need renewal on a regular basis. Amen? Because this world will mess you up. Amen? So here's another one. This is David wrote this one as well, Psalms 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Think about this. How would your life change if you began to pray those prayers on a regular basis? Like a daily, but you wake up in the morning, okay, God, I'm going to have some conversations with people. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Lord, get a hold of my tongue because I can't do it on my own. I need you to change that. And I want you to understand, why does he connect these two? You cannot disconnect the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart. Because whatever's in your heart, how many of you know it's going to come out of your mouth?
Yes.
It is. You can't. Listen, if you can go around and say, God, okay, every day you're with me. Every conversation, either in person or communicating online or texting people, God, I want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be pleasing. And then I just kind of altered the scripture a little bit right here just for fun. May the typing of my thumbs and the meditation of my heart, God, be pleasing to you. Amen. Anybody feel like you're getting a little whip in here? So let me tell you, I got it all week when I was getting this message together. How would it change your life? Think about this. How would it change your conversations with people? How many of you know retail people don't always do what you want them to do? Right? And oh, you're not doing what I want you to do. And it's like, love them. Build them up. You don't know what kind of stuff they... how many of you have ever walked into somebody and they just kind of got chewed out by a customer?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, I have so many different times just came up to apologize to them. I'm so sorry you had to deal with that. And it's like, man, you can bring healing to people. Listen, I know some of us, you know, we believe, how many of you believe in freedom of speech? Come on.
Yes.
We're an American. We should be able to say what we want. But remember, when you gave your life to Christ, your citizenship came from here to heaven. Amen. Heaven first. And so that means you may not always get to say what you want to say. What did Paul say in Galatians? My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Right? And I know if you said yes to Jesus, guess what? You gave up your rights here on this earth, but guess what you did get? You got better rights. We have a right to walk in righteousness. We have a right to be justified by him, which means God sees us just if I'd never sinned before. That's a right that I have now. I have a right to be seated in heavenly places with him. That's I have a home from here. So it's like, I will gladly give up some of my rights here on this earth to obtain the rights of heaven. Amen. I have the right that the Holy Spirit lives in me. He directs me. He guides me. He comforts me. He does all of that. So when I said yes to Jesus, listen, I said no to the world. And so listen, I know I have a right to speak my mind. No, I want to tell you, you have a call to speak the words of heaven to this earth. Remember, we covered this a few weeks ago. We are ambassadors of Christ. God is trying to make his appeal through us to a lost and dying world. And so I don't just have get to go off on people that I want to go off on. No, I've got to represent Christ. That's my God-given call. Remember what Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. And I only say what the Father says. And let me tell you, if that's what Jesus did, why are we any different? I want to do what God says. I want to do what Jesus said. I want the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart to be pleasing to God. Amen? Amen. All right, what's another cure? Number two, I've got to learn to put a filter on what I allow in my heart. I know. Ouch, right? Like, how many of you know you've got two gates that come into your heart? Here we go, right here. All right? You got your ear gate, the things that you listen to and the things that you hear, and you got your eye gate. And let me just say, most people in our world, they leave their gates wide open. Come on, let me just let everything in. You let anything and everything come into your house. And, you know, what you see, what you watch, what you read. And you notice the third monkey's not on there on this, the speak no evil. That's because that is a result of these two right here. Whatever you speak has happened from right here. So here's the thing. Put a filter on it. Let me just ask you. This is my air conditioner. How many of you would run your air conditioner for months on a time without a filter? I don't need a filter on my air conditioner. I get more airflow without it. What happens to your air conditioner when this thing gets, when you don't have one at all? Yeah, it's going to get hot. It's going to break down, right? Because all the particles, I've been late a few times getting my filter out. Anybody else? And you're like, oh my gosh, this thing is filthy, right? And it's like, it's taking out the, how many of you, let me just go with this one right here. How many of you would like, ooh, I'm going to make me a fresh cut up of coffee, but I don't need the filter. I don't know about you, but I like to drink my coffee and not chew it. Right? So I'm going to put a filter on it. What about your car? I don't need a fuel filter. Well, your fuel filter's, no, I'm good. You know, you go and they're like, hey, your air filter is really filthy. I'm good. I don't need that. That's like $10. I don't need that right there. Listen, we wouldn't do that because we know that that destroys things. If we would filter all that out, and what about a water filter? I mean, listen, I grew up where we drink out of people's hoses when you were thirsty. Like, I grew up in West Texas where you had to let it run for about 3 or 4 minutes so that the boiling hot water got out of the hose first. But now, oh, it's got to have filtered. Is that filtered water? I need it filtered. But here's the thing. We want all these other things filtered, but we don't care about filtering our heart. We don't need to worry about that. And let me just say, well, whatever come in. And I've heard people say, oh, yeah, watching that, listening to that, that doesn't affect me. That doesn't affect me. Keep believing that. I don't need the air filter in my air conditioner. I don't need that. Listen, what's happening is that we are being boiled as our heat is slowly being turned up. Amen? Slowly, the enemy corrupts our heart. It doesn't happen overnight. Take the filter off. And people, no, not me, I'm not like that. What are the songs you listen to? What are the movies that we watch? Oh, everybody watches it. What are the YouTube clips that you go through? Oh, look at that, you know? Look at that thing right there. What are the Instagram reels that pop up? Come on, am I talking real stuff here? Yeah, this stuff comes up and it's like, I would never watch that, but it popped up. And then it's captured you, and the enemy's like, because you don't have a filter. That's like I'm just letting in. And let me just go on another bend right here and another horse to jump on. How many of you know sometimes we can watch too much news?
Yes.
Okay? It's okay to watch. I like to stay informed. I like to know what's going on. But I'm going to tell you, none of us need 8, 9, 10, 15 hours of news. Why? Because news does not give you good news. That is not the good news. Anybody ever feel like after watching the news, you feel like depressed? Like, oh man, our world's going to hell in a handbasket. And I don't always know why the handbasket is needed, but that's where they're going. And I can tell you, if I listen to people talk and they sound more like either CNN or Fox News or The View, how many of you know, I know they've been listening to too much news, right? Because you're no longer sounding like Jesus anymore. Amen? I want to sound like Jesus. I want to speak the words that he would speak, amen? And so sometimes, like I said, it's okay to watch, but sometimes you just got to turn that thing off. Right, and I've had to do this in my life. If I'm getting to the point where I'm hating and depressed and despair, I realize I did not have a filter on. I need to change things. Look what Jesus says in Matthew. He says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good?" It's like, how can you do it? For out of the overflows of your heart, your mouth is speaking. The good man brings good out of the good stored up in him. The evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in him. People say things like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. And I want to say, yes, you did. It was in your heart. It was out of the overflow of your heart. That's where that came from. Let me just tell on myself a little bit right here. Some of you guys will identify with this. What's happening in this picture here? Who knows? Yeah, they're going through basic training and they had to go through the gas chamber. Right, I remember 1987, I went through the gas chamber. You know, if you've never been through it, how many of you have been through it before? Let me see some hands here. All right, I see a few hands. I mean, listen, tears are coming out of your eye. Every orifice that can have liquid coming out, it's coming out. All right, snot is coming down your face. You're crying. You're like, oh, mommy, I need my mommy. Something's going on. It's not fun. And let me tell you, 1987... I was really committed to my life to the Lord for a couple of years, 2.5 years. Before that, I just want you to know I had a pretty good potty mouth. And I'm telling you, like, you did? Yes, I did. I said all the words. I did all of that stuff. But you know what? I gave my life to the Lord. I went to Bible college, and I felt like I had victory over that. Oh, I'm in a godly environment, and it's all good. Good words are coming out, and I was feeling pretty good about myself. Ended up going midway through my college career, went to basic training into the military, and, you know, they're using all those words, but I'm feeling pretty good about myself, like, I'm not using those words. God, I've got victory. I'm a little bit better than that. I don't know what I thought. But here's the thing. I don't remember what time it was, like 2 a.m. They got us up out of our bunks, and we're doing a midnight hike. And I'm like, oh, we're tired. Everybody's fumbling through. You put all your gear on, and we're going out there. Somewhere in the middle of it, they started throwing the tear gas canisters out there, and you're half awake trying to pull out your mask. Nobody got their mask on in time. So again, there's the tears, there's the snot, there's all of that. And I remember out of the corner of my eye seeing about 3 drill sergeants over there behind the bushes just laughing. It was hysterical. And I'm like, I think about it now, if I was one of them, I'd be laughing too. But let me tell you, I was mad. And somewhere from the pits of my heart came these words that I hadn't used in a while, that I thought I had victory over, and it was like, and I remember, all that stuff's coming out, and I'm mad, and I just remember that caught me off guard that I said all of that, and I thought, oh Lord, where did that come from? And this was not audible, but it might as well have been. I felt like the Lord said, that came from the overflows of your heart. And I was like, I was feeling convicted in the middle of the night with my gear on and snot coming down. Maybe I was crying before the Lord, but nobody knew it because everybody was crying. So it was conviction. And I think what the Lord taught me in that time is like, yeah, you know, when there's no pressure and everybody's singing hallelujah, it's easy to control the things that are in there. But how many of you know when the pressure comes on, just like squeezing a tube of toothpaste, how many of you know that's when you find out what's really in there? Isn't that right? When you get the pressure in your life, and it was like, I realized, God, I still need a transformed heart. I thought it was done, but it was only 2.5 years into the cooking oven, and it needed a lot more time. And let me just say, it still needs more time. How many of you know God is still transforming us today? Amen. Apostle Paul says, listen, I have not already got there, but I'm still looking forward. So if you're feeling like, oh man, he's talking to me, listen, you are still in the process of transformation. Amen? All of us are. And so God can change that. Listen, now listen, you can't make everybody, I just want everybody to speak positive words around me. That's not going to happen, but you can put a filter on the things that you can control. Amen? You can put a filter on the things that you do allow. And listen, he said this word, storing up in your heart. How do I store up? Well, I got to store God's word in my heart. I got to get God's word in. I got to go deeper in him, and then you're storing up good stuff. Right? This is just important. Look what he says in Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, everybody say above all else. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Your life, your marriage, your conversations, your work, your ethics, the way you think, everything flows from your heart. And so we've got to guard it. We got to protect it. We got to put a filter on it. And at the end of the day, like I said, it's not a tongue issue. It's a heart issue. Amen. Just a few more minutes, if you guys will hang in here with me. I want to get into number three. Decide to speak words of life. It's a decision. It's a choice you and I make. And listen, it may be a discipline if it's not a part of who you are already, and it may feel awkward. Some of these things I'm going to tell you are going to feel a little awkward, but if you'll choose to do it, I'll promise you your life will begin to change. So five words on the other side of your notes. I've got to learn to speak words of affection. Words of affection. That doesn't come natural to some people. How many of you know if you're not used to doing that, if you never received that, it's awfully hard to give that out. But look at what's recorded at Jesus' baptism. When he was baptized, he went out, and the Spirit came down, and it says, a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, and I am well pleased. Do you know the only other time in Scripture that we hear where God is speaking to Jesus, the Son, is at the Transfiguration? And guess what? He said the exact same thing. It makes me wonder if God the Father said that to him every day. You are my Son, I love you, and I'm proud of you. Like I said, I know some of us have a hard time giving love away. Like somebody comes up and says, hey, love you, bro. And you're kind of like, okay. Thanks. But how many of you know it's kind of hard to, well, that's kind of weird. We got to get comfortable speaking words of affection. Amen. And my son's back there. So I just wanted to say, my other one's out there teaching, but you know what? You're my son. I love you. And with you, I'm well pleased. How many of you think that would begin to change things? You know, we got to get comfortable. And listen, you guys are our church family. And I want you to know I love you. I'm proud of you. You are my family. And I'll say that to my mom and dad and sister that's watching too. Amen? That's how many of you know, listen, I don't know what you did this week, whether you made good choices or bad choices or any of that, but I want to tell you, you made a choice to be here today, and because of that, I'm proud of you. Let me just say, you're doing better than you think. Amen? You're doing better than you think. Let's move on. Words of praise. Words of praise. Speaking words of praise. I love this verse here because I'm like, this kind of sounds like something to eat, right? A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like, what is that like? That sounds really nice, right? If you praise someone, you don't praise people for what they do. You praise them for who they are as a human being, as a creation that God made in his image. And listen, it will lift people up. Think about this. What would happen if you walked into your work, your job, and you told somebody, you know what? You're such a caring person. You're such a kind and gracious, and you began to speak words of praise over to somebody. How many of you think that would change the work environment? Amen. All right, that would change your work environment. And so learn to speak words of praise. The next one is words of encouragement. And listen, this is so important in our world because what's the difference between encourage and discourage? Encourage, you put courage in. Discourage, you take courage out. And sometimes with our word, we can leave people in a pool of pity and hurt because we just kind of ripped them, right? And they're discouraged. But I want to be a person that puts courage into people. Amen? What does he say in Ephesians 2:29? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. And then check it out, that it may benefit those who listen. So when you're encouraging somebody, how many of you know other people are listening? Right? And let me just say, everybody needs building up. Oh no, if I build that person up, Pastor, they're going to get a big head. They're going to get all prideful. Let me just say, if you knew the battle that went on between people's ears, you would never say that again. Yeah. Amen? You would never say that again. Next one, words of healing. I want to speak healing. Do you know what a big word of healing is? Is I forgive you. Yep. Or how about this? I'm sorry. Those are big words of healing right there. I love you. Those are words of healing. And you do that. Listen, people are lonely. People are depressed, they're anxious, even if they got a face on. How many of you know you can put a face, but that's not really what's going on? The last one is words of, there's the scripture, sorry. The tongue that brings healings is a tree of life. Last one is words of faith. Let me give you out of Romans 4:17. It's talking about Abraham as our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. It says, who did God he believe in? The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. A lot of us don't know how to speak faith to people. Come on up, Timothy. You're my son. I love you and I'm proud of you. Just wanted to throw that in there. What does it mean? It means that you begin to see in other people what God sees in them. And then you begin to speak it out. They don't see it in themselves. Like I said, sometimes we see, oh, I'm this and I'm that. But your words of faith may build somebody up, and maybe they're going through a struggle, and you come up and say, listen, you are an overcomer in Christ. You're going to get, maybe they feel like they've been attacked, and you can say, listen, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You're going to make it. You begin. Maybe they're struggling financially. Listen, God is your provider. He is more than able. You begin to speak those words. And listen, I just want to say, what if Freedom Church, what if we became known as a church that began to speak life into people? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. What if we began to get known as a church that spoke faith and encouragement and healing? How many of you think that would change the dynamics? Yes. Amen? Walk up to your job, your school, your family. Begin to speak life. Begin to speak faith to them. There's power in your tongue. But remember, the tongue's not the problem. The heart is. It's time to stop living an unfiltered life. Time to be careful what the overflows are. Amen? And the starting point for some, can we hit the lights here, James? The starting point for some is, listen, it's not just about the renewed heart. I need to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you've walked away. Maybe you've never given your life to him. And you're like, Lord, I want that. I want a different thing than what I've got. And let me tell you, it's not just about here. It's about eternity. And so you may need to say, listen, I need to make a fresh commitment to Jesus today. A renewed commitment. Maybe you did it in the past. Maybe you haven't. But can I just have everybody with your heads bowed, eyes closed? This is between you and God right now. I don't want you to walk out of here and think, okay, I just got to change my words. No, you need to change the heart. And only God can change the heart. So if you're here today and you say, listen, Pastor, I want to make a fresh commitment to Jesus today, either first time or maybe a renewed, can you just raise your hand where you're at? And then you can put it down. I want to give him my heart today. I want to make a fresh start. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here today and you're just... Actually, can I have the prayer team, you guys, come up here? Maybe you're just going through something right now and you're like, I need someone to pray with me. Maybe you're feeling so discouraged by some circumstances in life. and you just need someone to pray with you. Can I have everyone stand? As Pastor Timothy leads this song, if you guys will give us about 5 more minutes, I know it's a little long, but how many of you know heart surgery you don't want to rush? Amen? So if you need prayer for any reason, I'm just going to encourage you to come up, and as Pastor Timothy's singing this song, let's just join in and make it a prayer to him. Amen? To God.